Last time we began discussing the parameters of Macha for Ger Kata and the statement of Yosef for the Gemara Ksuba Sid Aleph that ideally Chalal Limchos, and the Machlok as we showed him as to what exactly Macha involves. We noted what the Ritva calls the Bali Tosfos, a more formal, elaborate Macha as the opposite of the Hodas HaMitzvahs that you need to provide to this Ger Kata when it becomes a Gadol. They have to inform him about Schar Va'onesh, and their acceptance of that lecture would constitute a imacha, and that would close the window of macha. And then the other formulations of the Rishonim that you have in the Shita Gevetzes there, and the Chachmei Sfaradim, either that they do a Maisa Yadus, and the performance of a Maisa Yadus constitutes a closing of the window of macha, or doing a Maisa Gius, which itself would indicate an act of macha. So, what is the status if you have someone, a ger kata, when they become a gadol, and there is no declaration, they don't say that they're bimocha, but their conduct kind of indicates that they're not interested in being observant. You know, if you ask them, they may say that I want to be Jewish, but to them, being Jewish doesn't mean observing mitzvahs, and they're not actively observant of mitzvah. So does that constitute, is that the maisa gius that some of the Rishonim talk about, that would constitute a macha? Reb Chaim also discusses this in one of the shuvas that we've discussed before, Chela Gimel Sivan Kachas. Reb Chaim Moser was asked, generally speaking, about the being the guy or people involved in a relationship with a Jew and their children. So in the context of the Ger Katan aspect over there, he writes, the Shoel assumed in Chela Gimel Sivan Kachas, that if you have ketanim, that your megayir is ketanim, when they become gedolim, they're mechal Shabbos, the dachil Shabbos begadlusam constitutes macha. Or at least that was the question that the Shoel raised, whether that should be the case, that their implicit non-observance or their active non-observance constitutes an implicit macha. So Chaim Moser wasn't convinced that's the case. He writes that the fact that they're mechal Shabbos and perform other averos does in itself constitute a macha, because they may still be considered a Yisrael who is over averos. At the same time, he says you have to be cautious only to the megayir people that are going to end up being observant when they become gedolim, but the non-observance in and of itself doesn't necessarily constitute macha. Not everyone necessarily agrees with that. Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, our best initiative for Refuah Shleima, was concerned of the contrary opinion that non-observance could constitute implicit macha. So if you have someone who's megayir or katan, by the time they become bar mitzvah, they're bimachal Shabbos, even if they tell you they want to be Jewish, that may constitute macha. Yeah.
Would they agree that if it's because of
taiva,
that wouldn't apply?
What does that
so
mean?
Just because they want to do it. Like they were completely serious when they were Skyer, but then.
Well, they were serious when they were a baby. What do you mean?
They.
A guy that could be 8 days old, right? And now he becomes bar mitzvah.
He's still serious. He wants to be a Jew, just as much.
He says he wants to be a Jew, but he's not. So is he? Why isn't he observing?
There's a taiva.
The time is in a family is a from family. They're in a observant environment, and at age 13, he has tivus. He can't hold himself back from Mimachal Shabbos.
So would they agree in that case that that's doesn't work? I mean, it doesn't. It's not.
Not sure. Maybe you say maybe that's less of a macha. Maybe. And this is one of the murky issues in Hilchos Geirus. How do you define macha, especially in these kinds of situations, where some say they want to be Jewish, but they're not actively doing Jewish things? Ramosha has the following concern. Ramosha writes in two Chuvas in Yoredei Chelik Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, and Simen Kuf Samach Beis. Ramosha writes in the context of adoptive children that you have to tell if you adopt. It used to be the style was that you adopted a child, you never told them they're adopted. It's less the style these days. Adoption's not as popular as it used to be also because people can't have children, then there are other ways of having children through artificial reproductive technology. So adoptions are on the way down, I think, in the Frum community, but still happens. So Moshe says, if you adopt a kid, you have to tell them that they're adopted before they become Bar Mitzvah, because otherwise, maybe they'll be Mocha when they find out that they're a Gerim. Maybe Moshe assumes that the standard case of Mocha, Higdili Chol Limchos, and wants to not Mocha for Shah Achas, which we discussed last time, then they're definitely Jewish. So then the standard case is the person knows that he's a Ger Katan, becomes Bar Mitzvah, so the opportunity during that window, whatever that window is, to be Mocha. Rav Moshe assumes you need to have awareness that you're a Ger in order for that window to begin. So if a person isn't aware that he was Megayer as a Katan, he thinks that he's the natural born child of his adoptive parents. And then when he's 20 years old, he suddenly discovers that he's adopted, so then the window of Shah Achas for Mocha kicks in over there. And then you have a concern. You're not going to tell him he's adopted when he's 13. So he'll find out sometime later in life, and maybe he'll be Mocha then. And that could have far-ranging consequences. When he's 13, Mistama, if he's living with observant parents, he's going to do what his parents are doing. But when he's 20 or 30 and out of his own, he might not be as interested in anymore in being Jewish. So then there's more of a concern of Mocha. So Moshe says it's a bad idea to withhold that information from the child before he becomes Bar Mitzvah, because otherwise you have the possibility of Mocha later, maybe he'll get married to a nice Jewish girl, and then years into the marriage he'll find out that he was a Ger and he'll be Mocha, and you're going to cause a lot of trouble for a lot of people. That's what Moshe writes in Chelek Aleph, Kusamach Aleph, and Kusamach Beis. So Moshe has a raya. He says not an absolute raya, but he thinks this may be a raya to this understanding, that you have the option of Macha once you find out that you're a Ger, from a comment of the Agos Ashri in the Gemara in Ksubas. Agos Ashri in that Subya in the first parak. It is Simen Kaf Gimel in the Rush. The Agos Ashri has the following comment. Ksubas Parak Al Simen Kaf Gimel. Ubedin Sheketana Gioris Luteris Yisrael. So if you have a Ketana who's a Gioris, she's allowed to marry a Jew. Afal Gav Di Machis Havya Ovedas Kochavim Limafreya. Even though if she were to be Mocha, she'd become a non Jew Limafreya. Hu Hadin Ger Katan Lisa Bas Yisrael. The same thing for a male Ger Katan to marry a Jewish girl. So that's okay, even though there's a possibility of Macha down the road. So Moshe says, who's this Ger Katan that's marrying a Bas Yisrael? That we assume lahalacha that there is no Kiddushin for a Katan. You have to be over Bar Mitzvah to effect Kiddushin. So what does he mean? They're talking about a Ger Katan who's marrying a Jewish girl, and we're not worried he's going to be Macha. Says Rav Moshe, must be talking about someone who was a Ger Katan, now he becomes a Gadol. And the concern that he might be Mocha is where he doesn't know that he's a Ger. So then we're concerned that he's going to be Mocha later. If it was the case that there's no Hechatimsa where the window of Mocha extends beyond the day of Bar Mitzvah, so then what's the case we're talking about of a Ger Katan that we're worried maybe he's going to be Mocha? Elowat, says Rav Moshe, must be that we're talking about someone after Bar Mitzvah who was a Ger Katan, and the window of Macha hasn't closed because he doesn't know that he was a Ger Katan.
Does Limafreya practically mean
it? I'm sorry?
Does Limafreya practically mean anything?
Limafreya, we'll have to discuss that, but Limafreya may mean that, yeah, anything that he did as a Jew is Limafreya Batal. So the Kedushin wasn't a Kedushin. The Yayin that he's touched was Yayin Nesach.
Well, the Kedushin isn't
true
no matter what.
What do you mean?
I mean, if somehow that affects her.
He married a Jewish girl, and then 10 years later, he's Mocha.
So meaning, she could marry a Kohen?
I'm sorry?
So she could marry a Kohen?
So if the Geirus is nothing Lamafreya, she can't marry a Kohen because she was Nivul Alakum, right?
Well,
then she would be a Sirla Kohen.
But she can't marry a Kohen.
What?
What would it be if...
If he was a nice Geir?
If it wasn't Lamafreya.
I mean, if it's only Mikan Lava?
No matter what, she would be Oscar.
Why should we ask the Kohen?
She's divorced.
Sorry?
She's not divorced. She's not Jewish anymore.
So she's not divorced. You're saying if it's not Lumafreya, meaning he's only non-Jewish Mikan Lahaba, right?
Then it'd be the same thing.
I don't know. There's no. She's not a Grusha. Let's say you're married.
It's not possible to be married anymore.
I'm sorry?
It's just not possible to be married anymore because she's not Jewish.
So right. So she's not a Grusha. If they stay together, then he'd be an Akam, she'd be Nivel Akam, she'd be a Silver Coin for that reason. So that's where Moshe's concern that Macha isn't limited to the moment you become a Gadol. If you're not aware that you're a Ger, then you could be Macha some point later on. Never Moshe has a fascinating suggestion. So how do you get out of this problem? Is you want to adopt a kid and you want to avoid the possibility of Macha. So you suggest that maybe instead of being the guy or the kid is a katan, you could acquire them as an Eved Kanani. As we discussed last time, the din is that a non-Jewish father has the right to sell his child into Abdus. So a non-Jewish father can sell his son as an Eved Kanani. So if you're going to be the guy or a kid is a katan, so you could arrange that if it's the father who's bringing it to you to adopt, so then arrange for him to sell the kid to you as an Eved Kanani. And Moshe says, even if it's the mother who's doing it, so Moshe thinks it's Mistabra, though he doesn't have a Raya, the definitive Raya, that the authority of a father to sell his son as an Eved Kanani applies to a mother as well. It may relate to the question of Havio Av versus Havio Soha'im that we discussed last time. And the Moshe says, even if it's not the parents bringing, even if it's the adoption agency bringing, but maybe the adoption agency is acting in the best interest of the child, and it's in the best interest of the child to be an Eved Kanani, so then that should work. He says, you have to be careful if you're going to do it, then you have to do that with a reliable rabbi who knows how to draft a proper Shtar Shichur to be Meshachar the Eved Kanani afterwards so he can become a full-fledged Jew. And Moshe raises the issue of Dina and the Mechusa Dina, that you're not allowed to have slaves anymore. So how can you have an Eved Kanani? So Moshe interestingly entertains that if you're only doing it as kind of a legal fiction in order to accomplish something that's in the interest of the child, but there's no real act of slavery, then maybe that's not a violation of Dina Malchus in that context, which is interesting. That's where Shechtowitz quotes from the Rav. The Rav said there's no possibility of an Eved Kanani anymore because Lincoln freed all the slaves. Once slavery is prohibited, then you can't have an Eved Kanani. So that becomes more relevant in the context of Mamzeris. A Mamzer can marry barely anyone, but a Mamzer can marry a Shifla Kananis. So the potential solution, if you have a Mamzer wants to marry someone, is take someone who's in the process of Geiris and wouldn't mind becoming a Shifla Kananis, so you'd be Meshachar afterwards instead of a Geiris. But then you run into the Dina de Malchus, the Dina problems. So interestingly, Rav Moshe here has that suggestion that maybe it's not a violation of Dina Malchus, but I think we generally assume that it would be Dina Malchus a problem. Anyway, that's Rav Moshe's suggestion here that I'm not aware of anyone who actually does. One of Moshe's grandchildren who used to teach here said that he once arranged that the Ethiopian embassy in Israel takes up the Shifla Kananis because slavery was legal in Ethiopia, although I'm skeptical if that really was the case at the time in the 80s that slavery is still legal in Ethiopia.
Oh, there are still countries.
Apparently not. We looked into this. I'm sorry? Apparently it's illegal everywhere, or at least anywhere that you would want to go. Dayan Weiss assumes this way as well, like Ramosha. Chela Gimel Minchas Yitzchak Simen Saites Os Yud Gimel. Chela Gimel Simen Saites Os Yud Gimel. He assumes that you have to inform the Ger Katan that he's a Ger and becomes a Gadol, because otherwise, even if he's going to act Jewish when he becomes a Gadol, if he finds out he's a Ger sometimes later, he has the possibility of Bimocha at that point. And there's actually a comment of the Marshal that sounds very much like this. The Marshal in the Yamcha Shlomo, that's the Gingsubis. Perak Aleph Simulam and Hey, Perak Aleph Simulam and Hey, the Marshal writes, Venira. Hadehigdilu einuchalim limchos. Hainu shenoda lehem shegiru el samabezdin. So when do we say higdilu einuchalim limchos? That you can't do macha. When can you not do macha? So that if you are aware that the bezdin was megayer them, they were old enough that they knew what the context was. Oavim. So that we'll discuss the Chassid Sofer and others, that if you know, if Hevi Yoso Av, then there's no possibility of Macha. So the Marshal says that. Aval Imein, how you can him out. Velo Zachar Davri Mashagiru. But if they're so young when they were Megayer that they remember nothing of it, they were infants. V'acharkach Kishedilu Nodel Lemadavar. And then when they become Gedol and they find out that they were converted as babies, Yicholim Limchos, at that point they're allowed to be Mocha. Af Acher Shenog V'das Yehudis Kamashonim. Even if they've already been conducting themselves as Jews for many years, Kol Zman Sheliyadu Migeirus, as long as they're not aware that there was a Geirus, they could be Mocha at the point that they become aware. Could be that he means they were knowing that Yehudis Kamashonim is Ketanim, and then they become aware that they were Geyer at the point that they become Bar Mitzvah. But otherwise, it sounds like this point of Ramosha, that even after Bar Mitzvah, once they find out that they were Geyrim, they could be Mocha at that point. So that's Ramosha's position, that Higdilu Yichalim Limchos is any point that they become aware that they're a Geirim, and therefore it's prudent to inform them when they become Bar Mitzvah, in advance of becoming Bar Mitzvah, that they're a Geirim, so that they could be have the opportunity to be Mocha then. And if they won't be Mocha then you close off the window to any possible Machal later on, which could have more far-reaching consequences. Others are skeptical about that assumption of Ramosha. Rishtermbach, Chuvas van Hagel, Schele Dalit, Simon Reish Laman Aleph. Chuvas van Hagel, Schele Dalit, Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. Sturmbach assumes that if someone is living as an observant Jew after they become Bar Mitzvah, so that's indication that they were Mekabel to be Jewish and closes the window to Macha. And he can't be Mocha at that point at all, and after that point at all. And he says, Sturmbach, that you don't have to tell them that they have this Chus Macha. Enough that they know about Schar V'Onesh, that even if you don't tell them explicitly that they have a right to be Mocha, that still closes off the possibility of Macha. He does mention that he had the following Shaila. There's a boy who describes as a Yelet Shoveb Umechutzaf. There's a Ger Katan who was a character, and he found out when he was a Katan, someone told them that, you know, when you become Bar Mitzvah, then you have the right to be Mocha. So he told his friends before he became Bar Mitzvah that, I don't really want to be Jewish after I become Bar Mitzvah, but I'm going to stay in my parents' home, my adopted parents' home, until I'm 18 anyway, so I'm going to continue to be from while I'm in their house, because otherwise they'll kick me out. And when I gain my independence at age 18, then I'm going to stop being observant, and I don't really want to be Jewish anyway. So, and the parents never discussed with him the possibility of Macha. And now this guy is 18 and he's learning in yeshiva. He doesn't say he's 18, he's learning in yeshiva. And the rabbis in the yeshiva want to know whether the fact that he said when he became Bar Mitzvah that he doesn't really want to be Jewish and he's going to ditch it all a few years later, is that considered a Macha? Or does the fact that he wasn't Mocha for that point mean that he closed off the window for Macha? And he was just saying that he had this idea that when he becomes 18, he's not going to want to. But Mistama, once he becomes 18, he really will want to, because if he's going to be living that lifestyle till then, he's not going to ditch it when he becomes 18. So he's not sure about that case. But fundamentally, he doesn't think, he's not concerned about Ramosha's general issue here. Rav Vosner as well, Shevet HaLevi Chela Kei Simen Kuf Nun. Shevet HaLevi Chela Kei Simen Kuf Nun. It was asked about Prefekta Masadar Kedushin, who was asked to officiate at the wedding of Gioris Ketana, who was adopted, and Kala had no idea that she was adopted. She was never told, and they're worried that if they're going to tell her now, then she's going to elope with herself, and she'll go crazy and run away. So Rav Vosner thinks that there's what to rely on, not to inform this Kala that she is a GRS, especially when there's concern about her mental well-being. And the fact that she was observant at the time of Bas Mitzvah, Rav Vosner thinks is sufficient to close the window for Macha. And again, he's not so bothered by Rav Moshe's concern. Lamaisa, we tend to be concerned, at least l'chumra, about Rav Moshe, that it's appropriate to tell someone that they're adopted or that they're a ger katan in time of Bar Mitzvah with the option to be mocha. And we would be concerned, Lamaisa, if they weren't told and then they find out later, and are mocha later, that that could potentially be a big problem.
Chances are that they're not religious, and it's better that they're mocha.
What do you mean, chances are that they're not religious?
If they find out when they're 50, they're probably mocha because they're not religious. And if you tell them earlier, the choice
are they're not necessarily.
Not, not religious.
They could decide they could be very religious, but
if
why?
Religious, why would they be mocha?
Because why should I bother with all this if I don't have
why
to?
Why are they very religious?
I'm sorry?
Why are they very religious?
Because they believe that... I'm sorry?
Because they think they're going to be punished.
Because they think that they're mechuyev, right?
But they were never.
Okay, well, I was...
They would be mocha when they were mitzvah.
I'm sorry?
They would be mocha when they were mitzvah.
They didn't know they had the option.
I'm saying, you either tell them when they're younger or older.
No one ever told them. Then when they're 50, they find out that they're adopted. They never knew that.
And then right? They'd be mocha, but if you say that's the case, why wouldn't they be mocha if they were told them when they were 10?
They weren't told.
No, I'm saying, you're saying it's better to tell them when they're younger than when they're older.
It's better to tell them when they're younger, right.
So you're saying chances are if they're going to be mocha when they're older, they're also going to be mocha when they're younger, and it's better for them to be mocha when they're younger.
No, if they're going to be mocha when they're older, chances are better that they won't be mocha when they're younger. When they're older, they have more knowledge of more independence, so maybe they'll be mocha. If they're younger, they'll do whatever their parents want them to do.
But then there's a good chance they're going to not be religious.
And maybe, maybe not. Rabbi Shai Schechter mentioned once in the presence, told me, his father standing there, that when he was learning in Neri Sol in high school, there was a boy, there was a normal boy in the yeshiva, in the mezifta, and the chino, and at one point he found out that he wasn't halachically Jewish when he was in 11th grade or something. So he decided, if I'm not luckily Jewish, so why bother? They left. So Nirav Schechter commented, yeah, why would anyone want to be Jewish if they didn't have to be? The Rashi's comment, back here on Har Gemara in Yud Aleph, Higdilu Kitanush in Iskairu, Afilu Imaviam. Yucholim Limchos. So Rashi writes explicitly that the possibility of Macha exists even if a Katan is Megayir together with his father. Yucholim Limchos, Vilomar, E. F. Shenu, Leos Geirim, Vichos and Lusuran, Veinlan Alon Shem Bebezdin. They let them go home, don't bother them anymore. And they're not Jewish. According to Rashi, the possibility of Macha exists both if the person is Megayir Ayidei Bezdin without the father, Hevioso Aim, or anyone else, or whether the father is Megari with him. Right? And that sounds like that's the bigger Kiddush. Afilu in Mavia, and you would have thought that if the father's not involved, so then there's Machav. Maybe if the father is involved, so Nichole Bemaida Avid Avuan, and therefore Machav's not an option. Rashi says, no, Machav could work even if father comes along for the ride, father's Megari as well. Okay. Now the Rif does not quote the neighbor of Rabbi Yosef at all. The Rif does not quote this din of Igdilu Yecholim Limchas. The Ran here quotes from the Milchamas and Shabbos, Milchamas and Shabbos in Haim and Beis. Excuse me, he writes that maybe the Rif didn't quote Rabbi Yosef because the Rif held that Machav is only an option if the person is Megayer with his father, the Katan is Megayer with his father, but not if he's Megayer Aidei Bezdin. That if he comes together with his father, the father is the impetus, then Machav is an option. If he's coming without his father, and Bezdin is Poel the Geiris, Aldas Bezdin without the father, so then we're concerned about Machav Bezdin Yafa. If he could just uproot everything Bezdin does, so then that's compromising the authority of Bezdin. That's the opposite of Rashi. Rashi assumed that the simpler instance of Macha is where it's Aidei Bezdin, and even Aidei Av you could be Macha. And the Ramban suggestion in the Rif is the opposite, that Macha only works if it's Aidei Av, but not if it's Aidei Bezdin alone. And then you have the Rambam. The Rambam, interestingly, does not quote the din of Macha in Isirabia, but does quote it in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel, writes, Ben Noach Shinesgai Yerumal V'tavol Achagach Rasa Lachzer Me'achorei Hashem V'liyaz Gertosha B'vah Kishayim Mikodem. So he went through a proper Geirus process and now he wants to revert to his previous status. Ein shavalo, too late. Ella yekei selachal davar o yeharig. Vim ayakadan, kishet bilu aso bezdin, yachalimchos, vishashi yagdil, via gertosha buvat. If he's a katan, when they're mapil him, adas bezdin, bezdin's mapil him, he could be mocha when he becomes a gadol, and he'll revert to being a ger toshav. The cave in Shalomicha b'shaito shuv einam emacha el arayu ger tzedek. The Rambam here in Perek Yud of Malachim quoted in a macha, but does not quote it in Perek Yud Gimel of Yisurei Bia. Chasson Sofer in Shuva Simin Reish Nun Gimel addresses this. Shuvah Chasson Sofer Yoredeya Simin Reish Nun Gimel. And he suggests that the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim is talking about Ger Katan where the father is not involved. Imei Akatan Kishet Bilu also Bezdin Yachalimchos. So where the father is not involved, it's only Aidei Bezdin, there Macha is an option. And the Rambam in Yisurei Bia is talking about where father does bring him, and then Macha is not an option. So that's the svar of the Kol Shekhen of Rashi, just without the conclusion of Ladina. As Rashi said, that in svara it's more pashut that Macha works where the Geirus is Aidei Bezdin, but it even works Aidei Av. And the Chazor explains in the Rambam that it only works Aidei Bezdin and doesn't work where the father is Megayer together with the son, where the Gir Katan is together with the Av. So he thinks that's why the Rambam only quotes this Halacha Macha in Malachim, where the context is Giru Bezdin as opposed to where the Gir Katan is Megayer together with the father. And that's what he thinks of Halacha, and that's the position of the Hag that the Beis Yosef quotes. That's what the Chasson Sofer thinks of Halacha, because if he's Megayer with the father, then we say Nichalei B'mai David Avuan, that he wants to do what his father is doing. and he's mevatel his das to the das of the father, and therefore there's no possibility of macha when he becomes a gadol. If it's bezdin that's facilitating the process of that of father, then he has the option of macha. Okay, so again, that's three shitas in Rishonim, presumably. According to Rashi, Macha works across the board. According to the Ran, according to the Ramban, B'das Arif, it only works B'heviyaso Ha'ab, not B'heviyaso Bezdin. And according to the Bahag, and what the Chavos Sofer thinks is the Rambam, it only works B'Bezdin and not B'heviyaso Ha'ab. The Bach, by the way, in Simon Reit Samaches, writes that the reason the Rambam only quotes the din of Macha in Hilchos Malachim and not in Hilchos Yisurei Bia is because the Iker Chiddush of Macha, the Iker relevance of Macha, is L'inyan Onchin. That why, what is the relevance of Macha? Are you going to punish this Ger Katan once he's Mocha for violating a Veira? So that's the context of the Rambam in Perek Yud. Benoach Sheshaga B'Achas Mitzvos Apatim Yiklom Chutz Mi Rotzeach Mishkaga, etc. And the context here is what is a Ben Noach Nenash for. So in that context, the Rambam tells you that if you have a regular Ger Gadol who reverts to non-observance, so that's a Yisrael Shechata, and he's punished. If it's a Katan, so then he can revert to being a Nachri, or Ger Toshav at least, and then he's not punished. So that's the context of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. Along these lines, Rabbi Willig has a suggestion within the Rambam, Lelacha Lelamaisa. This is printed in an article in Beis Yitzchak Tavshin and Beis. Edited by Rabbi Avraham Schnibman, currently of the Lower Merion Synagogue. So Rabbi Willig there suggests within the Rambam that maybe Macha is only relevant for Onchin, meaning that a Ger Katan doesn't have the option of totally reverting back to his previous status. And even Mikhail Labal on the status of Israel, but Linyan Onchin, he's not going to be liable to punishment. Because it's not right that if someone was forced into being Jewish without his own expression of willingness, that he should be liable to be punished. And that's the context of the Rambam here in Hilchos Melach. Okay, there is an interesting comment of, or line in the Rid, on the margin of the Gemara in Sugas Yud Aleph, Tosas Rid. Tosas Rid writes as follows. The Dafka Shalom Higiyu L'Klal Shtei Saros, Avalim Medilu V'lo Michu Einu Chalon Limcho, so Macha is only an option up to the point that you become a gadol. After he becomes a gadol, he's mach at that point, then he's a Yisrael Mummer. The Higdilu de Rav Yosef, Lav Dafka Shavo L'chlal Onchin. When Rav Yosef says Higdilu Chol Limchos, it doesn't mean Bar Mitzvah. Ela Shavo L'chlal Das. The point of Macha is when someone becomes a Bar Das, not when someone becomes a Bar Onshin. And becoming a Bar Das is an earlier stage than a Bar Onshin. So that fits with the Chasam Sofer, Yeridei Simon Shin Yud Zayin. Chasam Sofer believes that because Lo Ninu Shir and Lebnei Noach, the whole notion of Shirin is only relevant for Jews, not for Bnei Noach. Right? Bnei Noach is Nenash Pachas B'Shavar Pruta. So that's true to the for the age of Galus as well. So the notion of bar mitzvah isn't relevant to a ben noach, it's only relevant to a Yisrael. So then it would follow that a macha is only it would be relevant at the age that a katan becomes a bardas, because in Hilchos, if he's going to be mocha and revert to a ben noach, so in Hilchos b'nei noach, galus is defined based on das and not based on shanim or simanim. That would be a much younger age. What also could emerge, if you're concerned about this, is that in the opposite direction, ger katan couldn't work for a katan who becomes a bardas. If you have a non-Jewish child who's 7 years old, who's a bardas, so then you can't be megarim al das bezdin, because ger al das bezdin only works for katan, and that katan is an halachic katan. If he's a Yisraeli, be a katan, but not if he's a ben noach. I believe that was the practice of Rav Nachum Greenblatt Zal Zagezunt, who I believe was reluctant to do ger katan for anyone in that window. In that window of age, you know, anyone who's arguably a bardas over 6, 7, 8, between 9 and 13, because it's questionable whether the mechanism for ger katan would work, if we're concerned about this chassid sofer and the Tosfos read. I discovered in the archives here in Yeshiva, in the Rav David Lifshitz collection, I once came across a letter that Rav Nata had written to Rav David on this topic, the reading Subis, and the question as to whether gear cotton could be effective for someone in that age window. Lemaisa, most likely they did army gyre kids in that window, but based on this rid, one could raise the issue whether, you know, we don't sell you soon the way the lacha, but the rid sounds like that could be used enough to megayer a kid in that age window. Okay. So the mechanism, the premise of Gir Katan, as we said, is Zachin. Zchusulav Zachin LaAdam Shelo B'Fan. So how do we define that Zchus in the context of Gir Katan? Ramosha has a tshuva. Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Nimches Yerodeah. Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Nimches. Moshe was asked about a ger katan who was a mal shelo b'vnei bezdin, whether you need hatafa, whether we're concerned about that dogma vava that bezdin is likuva for katan. Dogma vava is talking about tefillah, maybe it's true for mila as well. So Moshe writes in that context that even though there's what to rely on to be machshir the geiris b'di'evin, where it was done shalom b'fnei bezdin, ach nochen adavar kishi yagdil lat bila odapam the geiris b'fnei bezdin, mishim shalabar adavar b'medina zu shu zuchus. So Moshe says, aside from the issue as to whether a geiris shalom b'fnei bezdin is chal for katan, whether tefillah shalom b'fnei bezdin is chal, but there's a bigger issue that how do we know that the whole mechanism of zachin was in place anyway? That's very likely. If you're Megayer Katan in Toledo, Ohio, in 1941, which is when the tshuva was written, that the Katan is not going to end up being from. He's not going to be Shomer Shabbos. So what kind of schus is that if he's going to violate Yisur? Ach efshar shemikol makom hu schus. So Moshe says there's a limud chus that maybe you could argue is still considered as chus. Sha'ach risha Yisrael adifin me'akum. Maybe it's better to be a Jewish Rasha than a non-Jew. The gambus chus machmas denichalei my David ofif. Maybe it's also chus because if that's what father wants, then nichalei. Ubefrat achrei shegam ima niskayra sheba'opin zehu yosir chus. And in that case, because the chasim sofer that machab won't work if the father is megari with him. L'chein yoser karov shu zechus avalaseis midei safek legamri yatov liskor lahapilo kishigagdo. So you could argue that this is chus, but better to be megari again when it becomes a gadol. And Rav Moshe has a second later tshuva. Eben Ezer chele dalid simen kav vav os gimel. Eben Ezer chele dalid simen kav vav os gimel. The 1941 Shuvah was written to the Rav in Toledo. This was written to the Rav in Indianapolis. Dateline, Camp Masifta of Staten Island, near Ellenville. So Moshe writes, the Shaila was the Isser of Talmud Torah, if you're a teacher in a day school, where there are children who are not halachically Jewish. So in that context, Rav Moshe has, again, B'derech Efshar. Efshar l'sakein d'esak tani migayru. So it could be that there be grounds to be migayir ketanim. Kihem ein tzvichem kabbalas mitzvos. V'yigayirim aldas bezin. V'uz chuslehem. So maybe you could argue that you could be megayer these kids, and if they're going to be going to Orthodox day school, it's a chus. Mikayim and shalom did the beis sefer dati etzal morim yirei shemayim harei masay sheit gadlu liyos shomrei Torah shalachein af shusafik is a chus vaday. Yafam lo yisgadlu liyos shomrei Torah misavir shus chus. The Risha Yisrael Shiyesh on Dusha Yisrael Mitzvahs and Shaosin Hu Mitzvah Laveretz Ulehad Mishnaga Ugan Kizkus Liyos Nachrim Mizani Choshev Shiyaskimu Habalabatim. So again, the Derech Efshar, Rav Moshe says that you're talking about where the mother is a non-halachic convert and they have kids who are in the Orthodox day school. The Moshe entertains, maybe that's enough of a zechus in that context to be megayer of the kids, even though they're not being raised in a fully observant household. Beis Yitzchak, Eben Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kavtes, Os Yid Aleph. Shuvas Beis Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shmelkis, Eben Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kavtes, Os Yid Aleph, also seems to entertain this kind of an argument, a more liberal definition of Zechus. He writes that where you have a civil marriage between a Jew and a non-Jewish woman, and the father wants to be mal the kids, Hinei, im aviv rasha, mechal shabbos v'yochol treifas v'imo nachris. So the father is a mechal shabbos, ochol treifas and avelos, and the mother is a goy. Ubevadi ben gam ken yadu lischazik derzeh. And the kid's going to be raised in that environment. Luch ora ein zechus lahavlad, shim yishar nachri lo yanish. So better he shouldn't be Jewish. V'im yisrael yanish. Mikol makom. Kamar Shakak Maznayim, Nefshibu. Al-Kedah was Chus Lev-Lav. So maybe that still is Chus, even if he's going to be raised none from. Mikomaka Lovi Chus Baruch Kolkach. Not so clear that this is Chus. Al-Kedah B'chi Agamnik Dilichol Limchus. Omna. Ima Av Mischareid Al-Naisei Resha. Ki Yisra Hesi Suhu Lav Or Al-Isr Kares. Ul-Kharev Shem Yisrael. But if the father is going to be Baal Shuvah, and he'll convince his wife to convert and go along with that and become observant and stop eating treif and to raise the kids properly, so then that would be a tzchus gamur. And that's where Higdilu Einuchal Limchus according to the Chasam Sofer. It actually suggests that maybe even according to the Chasam Sofer that Heviyoso Av, you can't be Mocha, that's only Heviyoso Av and the father's from. But Heviyoso Av and the father's not from, then he thinks even the Chas Sofer to be, you can be Mocha. And that's the suggestion of many or some in the liberal camp in Eretz Yisrael. This is a suggestion Rabbi Hendler made many years ago, that the way to solve the demographic problem in Israel of all the non-Jewish Russians is to beguile them all as Tanim, even though they're not going to be raised in a firm environment, but maybe that's still considered as close, and then they'll be halachically Jewish. And in the previous generation, there were a not small number of Orthodox rabbis in America that would routinely do Gir Katan with that kind of a standard without any expectation of observance on the part of the parents. However, most poskim do not assume this way. Even Moshe was tentative about whether that is considered a chus, but most poskim do not assume that way. Rav Shechter quotes Nefesh HaRav, page Resh Mem Hei from the Rav, also Ginas Egos, page Memhei, that the Rav is emphatic that if the family is not going, if the kid is not going to be raised to keep mitzvahs, then that's not considered a schus. So writes the Panovich Rav, Zecher Yitzchak Simen Beis, Zecher Yitzchak Simen Beis, V'yo kevin she'en kan chiyu ki mitzah she'ichol en bezden l'kavlo b'toros ger, k'shebiyu avi v'imo echem mehem v'az roi levarach b'erkas agerim, aval kan she'avi v'imo avriyonim Hem lechol haTorah, einam rotsim be'emes afnisa lechlal mitzvos, achrei shegam hem asrei nemekayim. They're not observing themselves. Ein zekaviu avil lisgayer that we had gerusi kabbalas kol haTorah kula. V'im kain, rakam hashanim asmeinim afnisa b'osam. So it's not considered v'yaso av. It's best in themselves. The lozei b'yadei nekoach. Bezin can't do that. V'od. Kevin Ja'anu Yodin, the Yavar, Mavadi, Hoysin Shabbat Torah, Kishiskat, the Bais, because if you're going to be raised in a non from home, you're going to end up not being from. You're going to violate all the Veras. And Kain Ainzaz Khuslo, Kiyim Chova. Lubaka Gonda, Lo Amir Zachal Adam, that's not Zachin. So writes Ruf Kuk, Das Kohen Sim and Kuf Ben Zion. Your content is only if we know that when they become gedolim, they're going to keep the mitzvahs. The ve'emes alo kabbalas ha-mitzvahs he ikir shal geiris, shreim ha-keres, ve'afilum kibel ela shalo haisa kabbalah kedin. No good. So ve'inyin shadavar misvarish ein daitam klala kain v'lisav yisuri Torah, if the parents aren't going to be observant, my mahani, ma shei mosim asal geiris al das bezdin. Dipshita, the Lodifa, Missi Rasa, Mi'ilu Masar, Es Asma Lagaris, Mi'ilu Tvila, Shekev, Shekhasa Kabbalah Samitsa, Sayin Zagaris Klaal. So, if they're not going to be raised in an observant environment, that's not considered Zachin. Sri Dei Eish, in the new edition, it's Chelik Bey Simen Samach Aleph. In the old edition, it's Chelik Bey Simen Sadivav Os Gimel. Nowadays, It's not as close to be Megayer Kata if he's going to be raised in an environment. He won't keep the mitzvahs. So not only is the gevurah not as close, it's a chol gomer. The aser ligra chol liadam after bishenei Yehudi. We'll say, okay, so I'm being chavim, but he's not Jewish, so why do I care? No, you're not allowed to be chavim non-Jew either. And it's not just that I'm being chav, lo od. Elo shageiris hi chov alo. Shageiris hi chov alo hi betelim hu betolas. Ve'enu ger klal, v'yav li demishol. It's not just that I'm doing something to his detriment, it's not chal. Geiris katem al das bezen only works if it's a schus. If it's not a schus, it's not chal at all. It's not going to be machshel people. Because people are going to think that he's Jewish, and he's not Jewish. They in the shower of the Taurus, Reba Yamacholim, she has to be there. Going to be the guy who taught him, who in an environment where they're not going to be observant. So the Gerus is in Chal. People are going to think that they're good Gerim. They're going to marry them. So that creates Chorban. Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Gimel Simen Tzadi Tess. Chela Gimel Simen Tzadi Tess. Yes, four reasons, they're really all related. Four reasons that Geiris doesn't work, it's not effective if the parents are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. So number one, as we said, it's not as close. It's a chov. Number two, the din is a dilu yicholim limchos. So usually, as we saw in the Gos Ashri, we're not so concerned they're going to be Malcha, because everything's in place that it's unlikely they're going to be Malcha. But if you put them in a situation in which they're not going to be observant, so even if you argue the Geiris is Chal, are they going to end up being Malcha? And even if there's no kabbalas mitzvahs b'shas hageiris for gir katan, but there has to be a context in which there will be the kabbalas mitzvahs when they become a gadol. And then he said the geiris will be chal at all. So that is the more overwhelming consensus of the poskim, that to raise a child in an environment that's not conducive to shmiras mitzvahs is not considered a zechus. Nevertheless, at least a suffix it is. So if you have someone who was megayer under such circumstances as a katan with an Orthodox bezdin, and things weren't in place to lead an observant lifestyle, it's at least a suffix. That's what in the Piskei Din Rabbaniyim, Chelek Aleph on page 376, there is a psak signed by also a lineup of Dayanim, Rav Yashiv, Rav Jolti, Rav Adas. There the Shaila was, or the context was, there was a child who was born to a Jewish father and non-Jewish father, and the father was not observant, the mother was not Jewish. But at the age of five, the father didn't want the kid to, it doesn't say it, but it sounds like didn't want the kid to, I don't think he's going to be baptized, but didn't want him to have a Christian identity. So he took him to be Megayer him when he was born, he had a Mila, and he took him to do tefillah in front of a Bezdin when the kid was five without telling the mother. So part of the question was whether, if it's done behind the mother's back, does that raise questions with the geiris under the best of circumstances? But there's no environment of shmiras mitzvahs there. So to view the kid as Jewish, that we can't do. But they write that at least a suffix it is. That if they're megayer under those circumstances, so you can say with absolute certainty the kid's nachri. At least a suffix there is, that maybe there is a schus to be considered Mizarish al Avram Avinu. So that's going to be a suffix gair. So a suffix gair is the worst of both worlds. You have to treat him as a Jew l'chumra, you have to treat him as a Goy l'chumra. So requires a get, can't sell him your chametz, but he would have to keep all the mitzvahs. So the best thing to do, if you have someone who's a Suffolk Jew, is to get them to the point where you can do a proper gerus to remove the Suffolk. So even if we would not lechachila accept the more minimal ger katan standards, but at least a Suffolk agrees, so you don't put yourself in that situation to begin with. But if someone's megayer in those circumstances, that creates a Suffolk, which creates a messier situation. General standards for gear kata that we use, which are pretty much a consensus, is that the question the Bezin has to evaluate is there a likely chance that the kid's going to end up being from when he becomes a gadol? So the way to assess that is if the parents are shomer tor mitzvahs, minimally, that there has to be shmir shabbos and shmir kashrus, and orthodox affiliation, a commitment to send the kid to a day school for 12 years. And sometimes there's some latitude if the family is growing, they're on the way, but they're not 100% there yet. So there isn't 100% Shavuot Shabbos yet, but there's general Shavuot Shabbos and moving in the right direction, so the Bezin could be comfortable to hire them, because in the assessment, they're going to go to an orthodox day school, to be in an orthodox environment, so the kid will help the parents grow also and get them to the last mile.
Yeah.
If the family doesn't live in a Jewish community,
in an Orthodox community,
yeah, or they could live a little outside the community with that.
Yeah, so we generally would not be comfortable if they're not in a position to affiliate Orthodox and be part of an Orthodox role that you can walk to on Shabbos. We have that situation that's come up a couple of times. Rav Avadia has a tshuva that kind of addresses this in Yeridea. Sorry, Evan Ezra Chaley Bays, Simon Dalid, Evan Ezra Chaley Bays, Simon Dalid. There's a tshuva in one of the volumes of the Marei HaBazak from the Eretz Kanda people, and we've had this kind of a case a few times. Let's say you have a Kohen who's married to a non-halachic Gioris. And they're becoming more observant, so they want to. But he's not willing to divorce her, so she can't be megayer because that's the fida brachet. She's going to end up marrying a kohen. But they have kids, and the kids, they're part of the firm community. The kids are in Orthodox day schools. Can you do a gear cut then on the kids? So the only. The only chisar it is that the mother is not halachically Jewish. So it's basically a frum environment. They're part of an Orthodox community. And the kids are going to be raised in a Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Kashrus environment, go to Orthodox day school. But the mother is not halachically Jewish, and the parents are living together with her. So on some level, better that they should stop living together. But that's not always in our hands to dictate. So you've had that kind of a case, or... sometimes it was an Orthodox Gerus. We had one case where the mother converted with the Orthodox Beth and Orthodox rabbis, and then she married the Kohen. So Shiloh, whether that Gerus was a good Gerus, because if she had a mind at the time that she converted to marry the Kohen, that could be Chutz Midav Rachad. The Beth may have been aware of that. Okay, but so Suffolk whether the mother's Gerus is a good Gerus. So you can give the guy or the kids that were born afterwards or born before, everything else is in place. So that Rav Avadia's makel about, and we're makel about in the Barei HaBazak Tshuva, they quote from Zamin Nechemia that Luchumra is better to be the guy or the kids again when they become Gedolim, just in case. I think we'll stop here, and next time we'll maybe tie up some loose ends about Ger Katan and move on to talk about Havchana. So I'll send you more comments on that.